Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Here, we got tons of Bibles up here, just a minute. What is going on as Christianity today is what we're seeing with the televangelists and even with the large churches. And it seems to me that all the awareness, all the Christianity that I'm aware of, has as its core that if you become a believer in God, that your life will be better. That you will have learn how to have nice kids, and you will be successful. And I just wanted to take a minute and contrast this with what Paul has to say about this and what the first century church was. Starting in verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure or a parable transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you should be puffed up one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? And if you did receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hadst not received it? Now you are full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings with others, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise. You are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. We have a fiction that apostles were the 12 that were there and called. But every person that starts a church is an apostle in God's eyes. And the apostle is a dying seed. It must fall into the ground and die. And if it doesn't die, it doesn't bring forth fruit. And each person... We also think there's a modern Christianity, there's a difference between disciples and believers. Some are just church members and the others are disciples. Well, that's a fiction that is nowhere in the Bible. But here, think of what's being preached and what you may very well believe as compared to what Paul said. We are made as the filth of the world, the offscouring, the garbage of the world system. Now you're rich, now you're full, you reign as kings in your own little life. How did it get to be from... I visited Corinth when I was in Egypt. in Greece and in Egypt. And Corinth is now fundamentally a ruin. But at the time, it was a very wealthy prospering town, city for that matter. And they were preaching this gospel of how that God is going to make your life better. God is going to fix your business. He's going to make you successful. He's going to have nice kids and blah, 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 blah. That's the opposite is true. Just hear again what it says about Paul. You are honorable. You are strong. Wait a minute. Start in verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, you are strong. You are honorable. We are despised. Even under this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. In labor, working with our own hands, and being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. We allow it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world. Now the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Warn what? To stop the foolishness and start being followers of Him. You know, you can fill arenas. You can play Joel Osteen and fill arenas, have the largest church in the world. But it has absolutely nothing to do with the gospel of God. You can be like the people you guys are interested in. I mean, the televangelists, some of them are fabulous. Benny Hinn was just... his wealth was estimated to be $46 million. Copeland's was out of the picture somehow, $95 million. I mean, compare that to Paul. And yet, these, in our day, essentially... it may not all be the success gospel, but all of it is how-tos. How to have nice kids. How to fix your marriage. How to do all this. I mean, even in the only place that this gospel of Paul, of Christ, the real gospel of Christ, is preached is it where the church is persecuted.
Seeing the impact of this overall, not one sentence, but the shot is the gospel doesn't belong to this world, but nowadays preachers are trying to make it blend with the world, make you happy and all that stuff. But the axe is laid to the root here. There's no relationship.
There's no home for self-realization in the church.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear that.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, that's not a pleasant thing to know. But if you don't go to that point, then the rest of the stuff, there's always a tendency to want for yourself, to make spiritual things, flesh things.
Well, that's why... let's look at another one. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We haven't done that, looked at that for a while. (Clears throat) Well, actually, start in 3, chapter 3, verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed or transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That word, not handling the word of God deceitfully. Deceitfully is a word that means adding water to the wine for the purpose of being able to sell more. And that's what the modern church is doing. They've added water to the wine to make it acceptable to the world system. And this mystery of God is never acceptable to the world system. Never. All right, but then we go. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, that verse 6 is trumps everything. It makes having no, you automatically have absolutely no interest in the world system, because this is so much far greater. But now he goes on to what we're talking about. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen, eternal. You've heard me for many years talk about, you never look at anything, you see through. You see through, you see through, you see through. Both Peter and Jude say, if you don't see through, and if you just make judgments by your senses, then you're a brute beast. What makes you differ from this beast? All must be about seeing through, not seeing at. as I've said many times, this place, if I trusted my mind at all, is my worst nightmare. What I do is my worst nightmare. But it fulfills every desire of my heart. Anyhow, don't be surprised if things aren't going the way you think they should.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to go the way you think you should.
They have contrasted with, they have no certain place to lay your head at night.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul just said it, Jesus said it, and yet we're...
For now we have a place to lay our heads. We may not tomorrow. No, but the point of it is you have no security.
Yeah.
But isn't that what everybody wants? They think, they say, well, I just want security because of something. You want security so you still remain in control. As long as you're in control of your life, God has, I promise you, God has nothing to do with you. The only thing this mystery of God comes is when you're sick and tired of having control of your life. And then it hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm going to give you a gospel that shows you how to make it work better. Bullshit. It's not the gospel. I can't believe I said that. That's enough. Pray that I'll be nicer. Any other comments? That's why God does it.
God takes.
He'll continue to mess you up until you see you don't want control.
Yeah.
Remember the Holy Spirit when He has come, He'll do three things. He'll convict the world of sin. He will. The world of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, not because of what you do. It's of sin because you believe not on Him. Of righteousness, because He's gone to the Father. That's the only righteousness. These preachers are talking about righteousness and of judgment, because the prince of the world has been judged. That's the only judgment you can judge. If you make judgments about anybody else or anything else, then you're a fool. And yet, along with success, what else has modern Christianity done? What do you mean? They make judgments about everything. About immigration, Gary. About homosexuals. They make judgments about everything. And it just makes God a joke to most of the world.
He's making a comeback, though.
Huh?
He's making a comeback.
It doesn't look like it.
Whatever happened to the city of Corinth?
Well, the trade routes changed, and so it was a trading city, and it's an interesting city because there's this plateau that sort of rises up above them. And so much of the city government was up on that plateau. It was, you couldn't, it was, you couldn't defend it. You couldn't attack it from any way. So, I mean, they were safe from even the Spartans.
But it's not thriving today.
Huh?
It's not a thriving community.
No,
today.
It's. I don't know. We just drove by it. I don't know that even. I didn't even see anybody there. So.
Just a ruin.
That's again. I didn't go physically in it, but it looked like just a ruin. Same with Ephesus. We went to Thessalonians. The Greeks call it Thessaloniki, but that's the Thessalonian. And that's a thriving city. It's one of my favorite cities in the world now.
Thessaloniki.
They call it Thessaloniki. Anyway, take it, big guy.